This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. I think that any student of history, anthropology perhaps, the social scientists will agree that the type of age and era that we're experiencing today is quite a unique one. And the set of challenges that the young men and women today are complaining of are certainly different to any other set of challenges perhaps experienced in the past. You don't have to look far and you don't have to extend your imagination too much to realize why this is quite a strong argument. You have an endless variety of sins in all of their sizes and their shapes and forms available at the click of a button, available on demand. And your average 13, 14-year-old today has seen more content in a week that maybe his grandfather had seen during his lifetime. Those who are in search for fame, they don't have to do much or carry out extraordinary feats like perhaps they did 100 years ago. You need a selfie stick, you need internet connection, maybe you need a good quality camera, and instant fame it is. Moreover, sins that usually needed people for them to be sins in the eyes of Allah, like backstabbing, there needs to be two or more people in a gathering for that to happen. Slander, gossip, lying, defamation. Usually there has to be a group of people such that this sin can be facilitated. Today it's a unique circumstance. You don't need too many people. In fact, you can be a backbiter, a slanderer. You can be a thief, you can be a liar, God forbid. When you're by yourself, you just need a keyboard. So it's a unique time. A time of deception, disillusionment, boasting, pride, fake news, hoaxes, scams. Therefore, we are in a very challenging time, to say the least. And it's a unique set of circumstances that we are experiencing, both as young and old. So these challenges we're speaking about, we can comfortably say it is impossible to deal with them. It is impossible to manage them, to navigate them, let alone transform them into an Islamic opportunity without the help of Allah Jalla Jalala. And without triggering certain actions of the heart to help you get through them and to sail safely. And this evening we want to speak about one of those actions of the heart that helps us do so, and we have called it, or the scholars have described it as al-muraqabah, meaning the watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not so much the fact that Allah is watching you, we're talking about your consciousness as a Muslim, that the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon you and His knowledge of you never fails. This is muraqabah. So how do the scholars of Islam define this act of worship? Imam Ibn Qayyim, he said, perhaps this is one of the most wholesome definitions of muraqabah. Take note of it. He said in his book, Al-Madarij al-Salikin, that al-muraqabatu hiya dawamu ilmi al-abdi wa tayaqunihi bi-ttila'i al-haqqi alayhi ala zahirihi wa batinihi. That muraqabah, watchfulness, is the constant state of knowledge and certainty that Allah is observing your outward and inward states. Quite self-explanatory. Al-muraqabah is a constant state of knowledge and certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing your outward and inward state. This is muraqabah. And others have said, like Al-Harith Al-Muhasibi, he said that Al-Muraqabatu hiya dawamu ilmi al-qalbi biqurbillah. It is the state of knowledge that sits in your heart that tells you Allah is near. It is a state of knowledge that sits in your heart that tells you Allah is near. A person who experiences this is acting upon this phenomenal act of worship that sits in the heart. It is called muraqabah, the watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe you've noticed as well. Just by looking at these definitions, the concept of muraqabah is very heavily intertwined with another key concept of ours in Islam. What is it? Yaqeen, okay, certainty. Taqwa, undoubtedly, as we shall find out. Knowledge. Any other key concepts that come to mind? Consciousness, yeah. Are there any Arabic terms? The idea that you are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly observing you. Ihsan, exactly. Ihsan, excellence. What is excellence? Ihsan. It is the uppermost part of our relationship with Allah. It's the cream of the crop. It's the gold standard Muslim. It's the highest part of your relationship with your Lord. Ihsan, excellence. We all know that Islam has 5 pillars. And then we know the level above it, Iman, faith, has 6 pillars. And then the highest level of them all, Ihsan, excellence, it has how many pillars? Just the one. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Angel Jibreel, who said to him, what is Ihsan? What did he say, Omar? Ahsant. Very good. Ya an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu fa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yaraka. Ihsan, excellence, is for you to worship Allah whereby you feel that you can see Him. But if you can't see Him, then know that He can see you. So do you see the link between muraqabah, watchfulness of Allah, being conscious of His watchful eye that never sleeps, and ihsan, excellence, the highest part of your religion. And therefore, it is the base of all other actions of inward ibadah. Take note of this, dear brothers, dear sisters. What we are speaking about now is not just on another list of the actions of worship that sit in the heart, like ihsan or tawakkul or yaqeen or ikhlas. We're talking about something very different here, muraqabah, the watchfulness of Allah. Why? Because you can say that muraqabah is the base from which every other action of the heart stems from. As Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he says, فَالْمُرَاقَبَةُ أَسَاسُ الْأَعْمَالِ الْقَلْبِيَّةِ كُلِّهَا وَعَمُودُهَا الَّذِي يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ. That muraqabah, watchfulness of Allah, is the foundation of every other action of the heart. And it is the pillar upon which every other worship is built upon. The watchfulness of Allah. And then he says, Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, if you were to think about every action of ibadah, the actions of the heart, you will be able to trace it back to muraqabah. And think about it, it is true. What are the two actions of the heart we've covered so far in this series? What was the first? Ikhlas, sincerity. Can there be sincerity if there is no muraqabah, watchfulness of Allah? You have to be first very conscious of His watchful eye upon you, then this will sprout ikhlas, sincerity. You will be sincere. But you have to first believe that He's watching you, for you then to be sincere to that Lord. What was the second act of worship we spoke about? Certainty, yaqeen. Can there be certainty in Allah without you first being aware of His watchful eye? It all starts from here. And in the future, if Allah gives us life and we speak about other actions of the heart, like the station of mahabba, the love of Allah, or the station of al-khawf, the fear of Allah, or ar-raja, hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, al-wara, caution from the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that each and every one of them springs out from the fountain of muraqabah, to first be fully knowledgeable and certain that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is observing. And you translate that theory into application. He is watching me. He hears me. He sees me. This then affects your public and private affairs. So this is muraqabah with respect to its definitions. And this is muraqabah with respect to its status. It is the origin of all of the actions of the heart. Therefore, it's only natural to say that someone who manages to actualize muraqabah or parts of it in his or her life, because it's a work in progress in all of our lives, this person can expect their hands to be filled with abundance by Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. What are the promises of our Lord towards those who become people of muraqabah? Remember, this is not an act of worship that you can see. It's not something you can drink, taste, smell, touch. It's something that you experience as a believer. That's its only reality. Something that sits in your heart. Yet it is so dear to Allah. It has life-changing properties for those who achieve it or part of it. What will Allah Jalla Jalaluhu award those Muslims of muraqabah, especially those Muslims of the 21st century who have everything at their disposal? The first, dear brothers and sisters, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will award the people of muraqabah with sovereignty on the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish them on the earth. Those who complain of transgression, the oppression of the zalama, the wrongdoers, the stealing of land, the usurping of resources, episodes that we keep seeing unfolding in our eyes week after week, year after year. What is the way out of this? It's a multifaceted answer, but it has to begin with muraqabah, to be an ummah that is watchful of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. These are the people who deserve istikhlaf, establishing on the earth, and to be given victory and aid by the Lord. Otherwise, what is the point? What is the point of giving Muslims authority and sovereignty over their affairs if they're going to backbite each other and kill each other and imprison one another and enslave one another? What is the use? And that is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said in Surah Ibrahim, a conversation between the prophets and the disbelievers of their era. What was the conversation? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ The disbelievers, they said to their messengers, لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا أَوْ لَتَعُودُنَّ فِي مِلَّتِنَا We're going to exile you from our lands. Or you either come back to our way. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ لَنُهْلِكَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ So Allah revealed to the prophets, saying to them, we are going to destroy the wrongdoers. وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ And we're going to cause you to live in the land after them. Who does this belong to? Listen, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِي But this will be for those who fear the standing before me. وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ And those who fear my threat. So according to this ayah, who are the people whom Allah will give istikhlaf, sovereignty in the land? They are the Muslims who fear the standing before their Lord on the Day of Judgment. Then Allah will give them the dunya as a byproduct. Till that is achieved, we can continue to see what we are seeing happening in the news over and over again. So when we come together in the masjid, and we work towards establishing our ilaqah, our relationship with Allah, and muraqabah and their likes, we're working towards a much bigger picture than you think. It's your religion that you are establishing, but your dunya as well. It's your individual safety and the safety of the ummah. Number one, Allah awards the people of muraqabah what? Istikhlaf, He gives them sovereignty on the land. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the people of muraqabah a taste of the flavor of iman. And those of you who've experienced it, may Allah allow us all to experience it, will know That is a life-changing experience. And once you taste it once, you live the rest of your life chasing that experience again and again. Muraqaba brings about the taste, the experience of iman. Almost a tangible flavor that you taste in your mouth. And that is why Al-Bayhaqi, he narrates in his Sunan al-Kubra, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Muawiyah al-Ghadiri, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ فَعَلَهُنَّ فَقَدْ طَعِمَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three characteristics, whoever attains them will experience the taste of iman. It's a simple recipe, subhanallah al-azim. Number one, مَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Whoever singles out Allah in worship, because there is no God but Allah. So the taste of iman is not offered to the worshippers of Christ, or the worshippers of Uzair, or the worshippers of a statue, or the worshippers of Buddha, or the people of no faith. The sweetness of iman is exclusive to those who worship Allah, and specifically to those who single Him out in tawheed, in oneness. That's number one. What is the second recipe for those who want to experience iman? He says, وَرَجُلٌ أَوْ عَبْدٌ أَعْطَى زَكَاةَ مَالِهِ طَيِّبَةً بِهَا نَفْسُهُ. And a person, number two, a person who gives out the zakah from his money agreeably, meaning he's content. He gives out the zakah not with lethargy, with heaviness, but with happiness, with love, with enthusiasm. A person who does that will taste the sweetness of iman. And then in the hadith, he describes the conditions of some of the conditions of zakah. And then he gives us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third. He said, وَعَبْدٌ زَكَّى نَفْسَهُ. And a person who purifies himself, this person will experience iman. A person who goes through the process of tazkiyah. Now you're thinking, what is the process of tazkiyah? I'm thinking the same question. The sahaba, they asked it. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the nature of a person who purifies himself? What did he say? This is the shahid. This is the point of the hadith. Underline this. He said, أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ حَيْثُ كَانْ. It is when a person truly realizes that Allah is with him wherever he goes. That is tazkiyah. Simple concept. But how rare it is to find it amongst the people. These are the three characteristics for those who want to taste iman. One of them is muraqaba, to be watchful of Allah, to know that Allah is with you wherever you go. This is the second thing Allah awards the people of muraqaba. They taste iman. May Allah allow us to taste iman. The third of them, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu shades them on the day of judgment. There is so much suppression of heat needed, especially in the life of the young man or the young woman, suppressing the heat of desire through their muraqabah, their watchfulness of Allah. So Allah gives them shade to cool them off on the day of judgment as a thank you. Subhanallah al-Azim. Al-Jaza'u min jins al-amal. As you sow, so shall you reap. Have you noticed in the famous hadith that speaks about the seven people whom Allah will shade on the Day of Judgment? Most of them, if not all of them, share one thing. They have one thing in common, if you think about it. They are people of muraqabah. Who are the seven? You remember the hadith, right? The famous Bukhari and Muslim narration on the authority of Abu Hurairah. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. There are seven categories of people who will be shaded on the Day of Judgment when there is no shade but His. Who are they? Count with me. Number one, who was the first? Al-Imam Al-Adil. Yeah, chronologically they say, or he said, it is the just ruler. The just what? Ruler. Why was he just? Did he need to be just? No. Because he is a ruler. Sovereignty is in his hands. Authority of the land is with him. So he doesn't need to be just. But he is just. Why? Because of his muraqabah of Allah. He doesn't need to be. But the watchful eye of Allah that He knows is upon him pushes him to be just on the land. Muraqabah. It goes back to it. What is the second of the two? Second of the seven. He said, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ بِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. A young man who grew up in the worship of Allah. May Allah make every one of you, dear brothers and sisters, amongst this category. A young Muslim who grows up in the worship of Allah. What made him or her grow up in the worship of Allah? When desires had reached an all-time high and energy is at a peak and whatever you ask of your body, it will fulfill it for you because health is on your side, vitality is on your side, the future is on your side. But they suppress all of that. They keep it at bay and they worship Allah. What made them do that? It is muraqabah, their watchfulness of Allah. That's number two. Number three, what was the third of the seven? Rajulani, or rajulun, qalbuhu mu'allaqun bil masajid. A person whose heart is hung in the masjid. A person whose heart is hung in the masjid. He didn't say a person who lives in the masjid or a person who is always in the masjid. That would be difficult. But the heart is there. So every opportunity you have, you go back. What is it that pushed him or her to the masjid each and every time? It is the muraqabah of Allah, the watchfulness of Allah. The heart is there. And then number four, he said, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اِجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two people who loved each other purely for the sake of Allah. They come together for His sake and they depart for His sake. It is for the sake of Allah, muraqabah. They're doing it for Him. There's no mutual interest. They don't support the same football team. They may not even speak the same dialect. But they love each other. Why? Because of their Lord. They're watching Him. And then he said, number five, وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُمْ رَأَتٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. And a man who was seduced by a beautiful and high-ranking woman to fornicate. And he said, I can't do that. I fear Allah. So the situation is perfect. The beauty is there. And the status is there, meaning the ability to cover up the crime is there. And nevertheless, he said, I fear Allah. How come? Because of his muraqabah, his watchfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see? It's all going back to the same concept. Ajeeb. And then number six, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى مَاتْ لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. A person who gives out a charity so secretly that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand gave. And in another narration, his right hand doesn't know what his left hand gave. Why did he do that? Why is he hiding it from one hand to the other? Because he's aware of the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes back to the same concept. And number seven, what was number seven? Wa rajulun dhakara allaha khaliyan fa'adat aynaha. And a person who remembers Allah all by himself. She remembers him all by herself. And their eyes begin to weep. What brought those tears? It wasn't an emotional nasheed. It wasn't looking at somebody else who was weeping. It wasn't a tragedy. Nothing induced those tears except his or her muraqabah of Allah. Do you see how Allah gives them shade on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Really, brothers, as I was thinking, subhanAllah, this morning when I was looking at this information, it's so easy to just consume this as data, as text. And I encourage you to write. And I'm sad to see that it's only, inshallah, a growing minority who are writing. But this is a tragedy. But the real challenge is to convert this theory into a vivid reality in your life. What does it mean to be shaded on Yawm al-Qiyamah when there is no shade but His? I mean, it's only 50,000 years long that day. And the sun is only a mile away from our heads. And people will perspire according to their deeds. The people of Muraqabah are blessed with what? They are established on the land. And they are what? They taste the sweetness of Iman. And they, what? They are blessed with shade on the Day of Judgment. All because they are constantly aware, completely cognizant of the eye of Allah that never sleeps. Another one of the awards that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu gives the people of Muraqabah is that He gives them farasa. What is farasa? How do we translate it? What are your thoughts? What is farasa? Farasa? Like an insight. Like a sixth sense, yeah? Like an intuition, yeah? Those who are constantly aware of the eye of Allah that is upon them, they really feel it. They experience it. It governs their life. It manages their choices, their decisions. Allah gives them a way of discerning between right and wrong in a way which He doesn't give most other people. This is farasa. It is a divine light that Allah casts into the heart of the believer. And I'm sure you appreciate the need of it today. This is what farasa is. Farasa is like a sharp persuasion that penetrates your heart and it dominates your opinion and overwhelms it. The same way that a lion dominates its prey and overwhelms it and gives it no chance to escape. That is what farasa is. It penetrates your heart. It dominates your opinion. And here I draw your attention to the similarity in the etymology of the word farasa, intuition, and farisa, the prey animal. The element of your mind being dominated by opinion and you're just sure of something. And that is Allah who taught you and He showed you the way out of confusion. And I'm sure you will agree that in an era that is defined by hoaxes and scams and fake news and filters and Botox injections and the glittery deceptions of dunya, the believer is in need of this mechanism. He and she, they need this tool, this divine insight to see through this confusion and these clouds of ambiguity and to find what is pleasing to Allah amidst this mess. And maybe you've come across the famous incident that happened to Amir al-Mu'mineen Uthman ibn al-Qayyim. He mentioned this in Madarij al-Salikin. The narrator of the hadith or the event is another sahabi, but I won't take his name just to honor him. But he said, radiallahu anhu, that I was walking to the masjid on one day and my eye fell on a woman and I didn't lower my gaze like I should have. So I came into the masjid and Uthman radiallahu anhu saw me. And then he made an announcement. He said, why is it that one of you comes into the masjid and the traces of fornication are all over his eyes? SubhanAllah, this is what we mean by what? Farasa. Intuition, to look with the eye of Allah, with the light of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sahabi said to Uthman, أَوَحْيٌ بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. Is this revelation from Allah after the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? He said, no, this is not revelation. But this is farasatun sadiqah. This is true farasa. This is true farasa, true intuition. What do you know about Uthman? How shy was he of his Lord? So shy that the angels felt his shyness of Allah, so they became shy of him, and so the Prophet ﷺ became shy of Uthman. A man of immense muraqabah, so Allah gave him this type of farasa, this intuition, this sixth sense. So it's very much connected with the lowering of the gaze, farasa. Generally speaking, to be conscious of Allah brings about farasa, but specifically there is a link between it and lowering the gaze from the haram. They have the deepest insight. And perhaps this is the reason why in Surah An-Nur, the chapter of the light, where Allah tells us to lower our gaze, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, tell the righteous men or tell the believing men and tell the believing women to lower their gaze. Just a few verses after it, what does Allah say? اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَاللَّهِ. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. As if to say that when you do that, you will be gifted with some of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This farasa. So, Shah ibn Shuja' al-Kirmani, who died in the year 786 after the Hijrah, he gives us a five-part recipe to how farasa is to be attained. Take note. He said, مَنْ غَضَّ بَصَرَهُ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ. SubhanAllah, he begins with the same one. Whoever lowers his gaze from the prohibited,
وَأَمْسَكَ نَفْسَهُ عَنِ الشَّهَوَاتِ and prevents himself from the impermissible desires. Number two. وَعَمَّرَ بَاطِنَهُ بِالْمُرَاقَبَةِ and beautifies his inner state with مُرَاقَبَةِ وَعَمَّرَ ظَهِرَهُ بِالسُّنَّةِ and beautifies his outer state with the sunnah. وَتَعَوَّدَ عَلَى أَكْلِ الْحَلَالِ and gets used to consuming the halal. What will happen? لَمْ تُخْطِئْ فَرَاسَتُهُ His farasa will never miss the mark. So this is number one, brothers. Do you have notes? This is number one. Number four.
Allah will award people of muraqabah a farasa that does not miss the mark. And I hope you have seen your need for it, especially today. Number five, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu awards the people of muraqabah with the love of the believers. Hide what you want and do what you want behind closed doors. If you insist upon it long enough, rest assured it's going to be made public. And that applies to the good and the bad. This is a qa'ida, this is a principle. And a mu'min, a believer who has muraqabah, who is conscious of Allah, we said you can't taste it, you can't experience it, you can't smell it. He has it, she has it. People will sense it. And they don't know what it is about you that is so attractive from a Muslim perspective. Allah gives love to this individual on the fact that he or she is a person of muraqabah when nobody else sees. Uthman, he said, مَا أَسَرَّ أَحَدٌ سَرِيرَةً إِلَّا أَبْدَاهَ اللَّهُ عَلَى صَفَحَاتِ وَجِهِ وَفَلَتَاتِ لِسَانِهِ He said, anybody who has a secret in his heart, sooner or later it will come out from their facial expressions or the slip of their tongue. Khalas, it has to be made public. And I love the words of Imam Ibn al-Jawzi. Really transformational words about this. Think about what he says. He says, إِنَّ لِلْخَلْوَةِ تَأْثِيرَاتٌ تَبِينُ فِي الْجَلْوَةِ A person's private conduct has a huge influence on how people see him in public. Something you do in seclusion, away from the eyes of people, and you thought no one saw it. He said, no. There is a huge link between what a person does at private and how people will see them in public. And then he explains. فَكَمْ مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ يَحْتَرِمُهُ How many believers there are who honor Allah Almighty in privacy and they leave a desire that they really wanted to do out of the fear of Allah's punishment or out of hope and reward or out of just veneration of Him. They leave it despite wanting it and desire flowing through their veins. They leave it. What happens as a result? Listen to his words. It's like a portrait of beauty. He says, فَيَكُونُ كَأَنَّمَا طَرَحَ عُودًا هِنْدِيًّا عَلَى الْمِجْمَرِ فَيَفُوحُ طِيبُهُ فَيَسْتَنْشِقُهُ الْخَلَائِقُ وَلَا يَدْرُونَ مِنْ أَيْنَهُ He said, when he does that, when he suppresses his impermissible desire behind closed doors, and he succeeds against his soul, what happens? He says, it will be as if he has just placed an incense stick, aloes wood, onto a live coal, an ember. And as a result, a beautiful scent emanates that all of the people smell, but they don't know where it is sourced. Do you see what he is saying? So the moment you overcome that impulse to do something haram when no one is looking, and you succeed in that battle that day, it's like your beautiful scent will now emanate from you, and people will smell it, and people will be attracted, and people will see a light upon you that you may not see in your mirror reflection. And they don't know where the smell is coming from, what it is that you do that makes you that special, but they know something is special about you. And then he said, for some people, this scent will live on after they die, people will continue smelling it from them, subhanAllah. Meaning, they're praised. People love them. People want to be near them. People want to remember their manaqib, their virtues. He says some people, it will last 100 days, but then the scent will disappear. Other people, that scent will remain for a year, and then the scent will disappear. And he said other people, their scent, their good fragrance remains with humanity till the end of time. Praising them, speaking well of them, making dua for them, till the day we meet Allah. Based upon what? Ibn al-Jawzi says, based upon how they conducted their affairs when no one was looking. That's what did it. Remember when we were introducing the series? How many times did we say, this Imam was rose to fame and because he had secrets. And Imam Malik rose to fame. Somebody said, it must be that he had secrets. This is one of the secrets. That you have muraqabah, watchfulness of Allah, when no one is looking. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu makes you a person who is praised. He gives you a position of praise in dunya before the akhirah. Allah gives them love. Another one of the elements, this is number 6, that is given to the people of muraqabah. This is perhaps the most obvious gift. This is perhaps the feature of the people of muraqabah that every sheikh or scholar or student of knowledge will speak about when discussing it. It's the biggest feature and the most obvious gift given to a person who becomes an individual of muraqabah. What is that? He or she is awarded by Allah an iron wall that stands between them and sins. Allah gives them so much strength to overcome sins that other people are falling prey to because they are conscious of the watchful eye of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. It's obvious, isn't it? They know Allah is watching, they fear, they feel it, and so instantly this sprouts adab, manners with their Lord. They don't want to see, they don't want to be seen by their beloved trespassing. Because they have read in the Quran, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah can see? And they read in the Quran, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows of the sly, treacherous glances of the eye and everything that the heart hides. They read in the Quran, يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They hide from the people, but they do not hide from Allah. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. But He is with them when they are conspiring at night, that speech which displeases Him. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا. And Allah is encompassing of everything they do. They read in the Quran, سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ. It is the same to Allah for those who speak secretly or those who speak loudly. وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ. Or those who go hiding in the night. وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. And those who go out forth by day. It's all the same to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, night and day, privacy and public. He sees it all. And they read in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't you know that Allah knows everything in the heavens and the earth? مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. There is no secret gathering of three people except that Allah is their fourth. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. And there's no secret gathering of five except that Allah is their sixth. وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرُ. And no gathering that is less or more than that in number. إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ. Except that He is present with them. أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. Wherever they may be. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then Allah will inform them about what they did on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Allah knows all things. So they are aware of all of these ayat. And these divine descriptions of Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it serves as a firewall between them and sins. And that is why when a man, he said to Wahayb ibn Ward, عِذْنِي, give me advice. He gave him heart-shuddering advice. He said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَن يَكُونَ اللَّهُ أَهْوَانَ النَّاظِرِينَ إِلَيْكَ. He said, beware of making Allah the least significant of all observers. Don't make Allah the least significant of all observers in your life. The thought of somebody exposing your sin or seeing you on the job causes our hair to stand on end. Imagine someone taps on your shoulder 20 minutes into your deed and says to you, I'm sorry, I saw all of that. Imagine it's a tab that you thought was minimized. Allahul Musta'an. Or a conversation that you thought was genuine, it turns out it was tapped. Or a long-term relationship in the haram that you thought was genuine, it was going somewhere, it turns out it was a setup. And now you've got a big collision course with a scandal coming your way. The thought of being observed by humans during our moments of weakness is a scary and embarrassing one that causes anxiety. In fact, some people, when observed by a child when they are doing a deed of theirs, they will feel a level of embarrassment. They may hesitate, wait until the child leaves. Can it be that we have placed Allah Jalla Jalaluhu at the bottom of those list of observers? اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ أَهْوَانَ النَّاظِرِينَ إِلَيْكَ. Beware, he said, of making Allah the least significant of all observers. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he said that a man called Abu Hamid al-Khalfani said to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what is your opinion on these couplets of poetry that people say to remind people about Allah? Halal or haram. He said, like what? Give me a preview. Give me an example. He said, some people, they say, إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَ تَعْصِينِي وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ مِنْ خَلْقِي وَبِالْعِصْيَانِ تَأْتِينِي. The couplet says, if my Lord says to me, were you not embarrassed to disobey me? And you would hide sins from people, but you had no problem showing them to me. Imam Ahmad said to Abu Hamid, repeat that one more time, please. So he repeated the couplet of poetry. And Imam Ahmad, he didn't give a verdict or an answer. He walked away and he entered into his house and closed the door. And the narrator said, we could hear Imam Ahmad sobbing in his house as he was reciting those couplets again and again. إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَ تَعْصِينِ. So they are given a wall of iron, the people of Muraqaba, between them and sins, thinking 100 times before falling short towards their Lord. إِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ دَاعِيَةٌ إِلَى الطُّغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحِي مِنْ نَظَرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. Another poet, he says, if you find yourself alone and your soul is urging you to commit a sin, during the evening, then be shy of the eye of Allah and say to it that the one who created the night can still see me. La ilaha illallah. And the third poet, he says, كَمْ قَدْ خَلَوْتُ بِمَنْ أَهْوَى فَيَمْنَعُنِي مِنْهُ الْحَيَاءُ وَخَوْفُ اللَّهِ وَالْحَذَرُ كَذَلِكَ الْحُبُّ لَا إِتْيَانُ مَعْصِيَةٍ لَا خَيْرَ فِي لَذَّةٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا سَقَرُ. He says, how many times have I found myself alone with a person whom I desire? But it is my fear and shyness of Allah that prevents me from making a move. And then he says, sin is not what defines love. He says, true love is not about committing a sin. After all, he says, what is the use of a pleasure if it ends up taking you to hell? Allahu Akbar. So a person of muraqabah, dear brothers and sisters, thinks once and twice and thrice before clicking or double tapping or responding or doing what he or she does to give them that appeasement in the evening. A wall, an iron wall that stands between them and sins. It is one of the greatest and most obvious gifts that Allah gives to a person who actualizes muraqabah, aware of the eye of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And they are always in a state of internal conversation. Muraqabah is like a cloud that hovers over their head, accompanying them wherever they may go. For them, muraqabah is like a voice that speaks to them from within. Every time they're on the verge of crossing a limit, they hear that voice raising its tone. And it says, O my soul, if you are about to commit this sin whilst thinking that Allah can't see you, then how severe is your kufr, your disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But O my soul, if you're committing this sin whilst knowing that He can see you, then how little is your haya, your shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O my soul, the person of muraqabah says, why are you avoiding a confrontation with these tough questions? When you know that the land is His, and the skies are His, and sovereignty is His, and those limbs that you are using to disobey Him are His, they're on loan. Oh my soul, how can it be that you have made Allah the least significant of all observers? So do you see, the person of muraqabah is gifted with this tool, a wall that stands between them and sins, and they have so much to think about before actualizing it. And when they do, they are quick to make amends with their Lord. The people of Muraqabah are also awarded with Jannah. That is where the people of Muraqabah will rest. Before that, it is a constant state of jihad. And that is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said in a very reassuring ayah for you and I, He said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. As for he who is scared of the standing before his Lord on the Day of Judgment. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he forbids his soul from its desire. What is the outcome? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then indeed paradise, that will be the home. Who is this person who fears the standing before his Lord? Imam al-Qurtubi mentions in his tafsir that Mujahid ibn Jabr and Ibrahim al-Nakha'i, they said, it's this. هُوَ الرَّجُلُ يَهُمُّ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ فَيَذْكُرُ مَقَامَهُ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ فَيَتْرُكُهَا خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. This is in reference to a person, he says, who is on the verge of committing a sin, but then remembers he will stand before Allah. So he walks away out of the fear of his Lord. As for he who fears the standing before his Lord and prohibits his soul from its wants, then Jannah, that will be the home. Tayyib, very quickly, let us conclude. What is the pathway to muraqabah? For those who are interested, I'm going to suggest four very quick points. Take note of them. If these gifts mean anything to you, then here is a suggestion how you and I can try to work towards them. The first of them, to know Allah Jalla Jalaluh. There is no potent, more of a potent way to attain the station of muraqabah than to know who it is you are watching and thinking about, and give special attention to the study of His names and His attributes. Start a concerted study of His names. Find a course, find a book, read it, understand it, and then move to the next. And focus on those specific names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will sprout muraqabah. Like which names? Al-Raqib, the watching. What else? As-Sami', the ever-hearing. What else? Al-Alim, the all-knowing. Yeah. What else? Al-Basir, the ever-seeing. Jahangir Al-Latif, exactly. The subtle, the one who knows the finest details. Al-Shaheed, the witness. Al-Muhit, the all-encompassing. And watch how you will be forced into the meadows of muraqabah when you understand that this is the Lord who is above me. Our mother Aisha, she said, a woman called Khawla bint Thalaba comes to my house complaining of her husband. And between me and her and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom she was sat with complaining to, was only a thin veil, a small gap, maybe 1.5 meters. And she said her speech was muffled. I couldn't make out entirely what she was saying. And then Allah reveals an ayah. What is the ayah? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Allah has heard the words of the woman who was arguing with you, O Prophet, about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And she is appealing to Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. And Allah hears your conversation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Allah, He hears and He sees. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي وَسِعَ سَمْعُهُ الْأَصْوَاتِ. Glory be to the one whose hearing encompasses everything. Between me and Khawla was a meter or so, and I could barely make out what she was saying. And Allah from above, seven heavens, hears the details of the conversation. So a person who knows Allah, what will happen? They will find themselves slowly becoming an individual of muraqabah. You have to know Him first. Number two, recite the book of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu with contemplation, with tadabbur. One of the predecessors, he said, كَمْ مِنْ مَعْصِيَةٍ فِي الْخَفَاءِ مَنَعَنِي مِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّةً. He said, there were so many sins I wanted to commit at night when no one was looking, but I was prevented each and every time when I remembered an ayah. That ayah is from Surah Ar-Rahman, where Allah says, whoever fears the standing before his Lord, Allah will give him two gardens. Quran is another shield in the face of those temptations and sins. For those who want muraqabah, it begins with the recitation of Quran with contemplation. That is the condition. Number three, to be aware of the consequences of abusing muraqabah. And you know what I mean. When you know the consequences of something, if it's not the carrot approach, it's the stick approach. If it's not the incentives that will bring us to muraqabah, then let us understand the threats. What is in stock for somebody who crosses limits over and over again, boldly and audaciously, in one of the most terrifying ahadith, which Ibn Majah narrates on the authority of Thawban, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَأَعْلَمَنَّ أَقْوَامًا مِنْ أُمَّتِي. I know certain segments of my nation. يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِحَسَنَاتٍ أَمْثَالِ جِبَالِ تِهَامَةَ بِيضًا. Who will come on the day of judgment with mountains of good deeds. Allahu Akbar. There is your jihad, there is your salah, there is your sadaqah, there is your da'wah, there is your dutifulness to your mother and father, there is your help to your society and community, there mountains of good deeds. The outcome, فَيَجْعَلُهَا اللَّهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And Allah will render all of those mountains of good deeds into dust. They have nothing with Allah. The Sahaba, they said, صِفْهُمْ لَنَا جَلِّهِمْ لَنَا أَلَّا نَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَا نَعْلَمْ. Messenger of Allah, describe them to us, lest we may be these people without us knowing. Here comes a description. He said, أَمَا إِنَّهُمْ مِنْ إِخْوَانِكُمْ. They are your brothers. وَمِنْ جِلْدَتِكُمْ. They are from your race. وَيَأْخُذُونَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ كَمَا تَأْخُذُونَ. And they pray at night, the same way you pray at night. They are people of Qiyam. So, what went wrong? He says, وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ انْتَهَكُوهَا. He said, however, they were people whom when they were alone with the limits of Allah, they would cross them. It's a terrifying reality, dear brothers and sisters, really. So to understand the outcome of not being a person of muraqabah, watchfulness of Allah, I ask you personally, individually, and I pose the same question to myself, and I certainly know the answer for myself. If your life, with all of its details, its good and bad moments, its righteous and unrighteous moments, were to be put together as a film, would you watch it? Would you be comfortable gathering your friends and family to watch it? Honestly, would you be comfortable for that film to be broadcasted on national TV? If the answer is no, and that's how I would answer that question for myself, most certainly, then it means perhaps we need to give a little bit more attention to the production of that film. Because you and I are authoring that script as we speak. through our dress, through our business choices, through our relationships, how we present ourselves online, offline, through what we sell, what we consume, what we inhale, where we look at. You are authoring the script of your life, and on the day of judgment, many people will have to read out their own story. وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. Allah says, we will bring him on the day of judgment a book that he will find is already open. Don't worry about opening it. There's your book. It's open. اقرأ كتابك. Allah will say, read your book. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You are enough as a reckoner against yourself. What were the three steps we've mentioned so far? To know Allah. To recite Quran with contemplation. And to understand the consequences of not acting upon muraqabah. I will leave you with the fourth. And that is to be aware of some of the stories of the people of muraqabah. And endeavor to put yourself on that list. I'm going to share with you just a few short ones. Al-Ghazali, he mentions in his book, Al-Ihya al-Ulum-Din, that a man called Abdullah ibn Dinar was traveling with Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab towards Mecca. He said, فَعَرَّسْنَا, we stopped off, we camped in the latter part of the night. And then a shepherd came to us from a nearby hill with sheep. Umar said to him, sell me, please, one of your sheep. The shepherd said, Inni mamluk, I'm a slave. I don't have the authority to do that. He said, Umar now wants to test him. He said, why don't you tell your master that a wolf came and ate it? Just give us one. Then he gave a response, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, that summarizes the purpose of every book of Aqidah that you may have studied. He gave a two-word response that caused Umar to weep. Give me one of your sheep. Tell your master that a wolf ate it. He said, فَأَيْنَ Allah? Where is Allah in all of this? The shepherd said, where is Allah in all of this? I can't do that. Umar began to cry. On the very next day, Umar made his way to the master of that slave and he paid his price in full and Umar set him free. Then Umar gave him his farewell parting message. He said, listen to me. هذه الكلمة أعتقتك في الدنيا وأرجو أن تعتقك يوم القيامة. That word you said yesterday has given you freedom in the life of this dunya. And I am hopeful that Allah will give you freedom on the day of judgment as well. Ajib. Muraqabah. And another story which At-Tannukhi mentions in his book, Al-Faraju Ba'da Shiddah. He said that there was a woman who was abducted by a soldier. He wanted to rape her. She was a righteous, God-fearing woman. He took her into the room. Her neighbors came out to try to defend her, but they couldn't fend off the guards and the soldiers who were defending this general. He took her into the room and he closed the doors and he began to entice her. She refused. No way. Haram. Allah is watching. Muraqabah. And so he did what most of these monsters they do and he began to force himself on her. Just before he carried out his devilish, demonic intent, she said, wait. There's one more door you haven't closed. Close it. He said, which door? She said, the door that is between you and Allah. He moved away from her and he said to her, please leave, Allah has saved you. What saved her, brothers, sisters? Her muraqabah of Allah, Jalla Jalaluh. Have you heard of Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthayn, a tabi'i, second generation Muslim? Didn't meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met the Sahaba. Ibn Mas'ud said to Al-Rabi' if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw you, he would have loved you. And every time I see you, I remember those who are devout to Allah. This is Al-Rabi', a worshipper of his era. And his peers became jealous of him. And so they conspired to seduce him out of his faith. And they spoke to a woman who was known for her beauty in the city. And they said to her, we need you to tempt Al-Rabi' out of his faith. She said, no problem. So he's coming out of the masjid on one evening and he sees the woman there. And then she uncovers her niqab, her facial covering, and he sees beauty. The narration says it's like a portion of the moon. And Al-Rabi'ah begins to cry. So she said, why are you crying? He said, I'm crying because I am sad to see such beauty taking such a misguided path for it then to be seen as a charcoaled skull in the fire of hell.
She covered her face and went to the masjid and became one of the greatest worshippers of her era.
What saved him and what saved her? It was the muraqabah of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And the last of the four I wanted to share with you of these stories is that which Ibn al-Qayyim mentions. This is a profound incident actually. In his book, Rawdatul Muhibbin. He said that there was a woman who was looking in the mirror in Mecca, in her bedroom, next to her husband. And then she goes, do you think that there is anyone who sees this face but then won't be tempted by it? That's confidence, right? Is there anyone out there who can see this and not be like, whoa, she's lush? So her husband goes, yeah, there is actually one man. She said, who? He said, Ubayd ibn Umair. This is the wa'id of Mecca, the admonisher of Mecca, student of Aisha. She said, you can't get through to Ubayd ibn Umair with nothing like that. She said, do you give me permission to try and seduce him? He said, yeah, go and try. So, you know, footnote here, this is obviously a swine of a human being, khanzir. Yeah? No jealousy, no. Yeah, go. So he's in the haram of Mecca, next to the Kaaba, he's teaching and answering people's questions. And she comes along and, you know, they take to a side of the masjid in this public space. And then she uncovers her face. And again, she was described as a woman of immense beauty. He turns away, he said, Amat Allahi statiri. Bondswoman of Allah, veil yourself. She said to him, Inni qad futintu bik. She said, you've tempted me so much. La hawla. This is like in the haram. She said, no, you've tempted me. So he understands what she's trying to do and what she's getting at. He said to her, look, I have a few questions to ask you. If you're truthful in your response, I may consider fulfilling your request. She said, yeah, ask. He said, if the angel of death was to come to you at this hour and your soul begins to shudder now in its exit, would you be happy that I had fulfilled your request for you at this moment? She said, no, by Allah, I wouldn't. He said, I know you wouldn't. He said, tell me, if you are lowered into your grave and then the two angels make their entry and then they sit you up and they begin the interrogation that will now determine your future, would you be happy knowing that you and I had committed this act at this moment? She said, by Allah, I wouldn't. He said, I know you wouldn't. He said, tell me, if on the day of judgment you see the books flying around everywhere, the books of deeds, and you don't know if you're going to catch your book in your right or left hand, and you're nervous and scared, would you be happy at that hour that I had fulfilled your request for you? She said, by Allah, I wouldn't. He said, I know you wouldn't. He said to her, when you find yourself standing at the Sirat, the bridge that leads over hell and takes to paradise, and you see people dropping, would you be happy at that moment to know that I had fulfilled this request of yours? She said, no, by Allah, I wouldn't. He said, I know you wouldn't. He said, tell me, if the scales are brought and you see the deeds of people being weighed and you don't know which side of the scales will weigh in your favor or against you, would you be happy that I had committed this thing with you? She said, no, by Allah, I wouldn't. He said, I know you wouldn't. He said to her, tell me, when you find yourself standing before Al-Malik, the King, Al-Jabbar, the Compeller, Allah, and he asks you about all of your deeds when you are alive, would you be happy then to know that we had done this? She said, by Allah, I wouldn't. He said, فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْكِ وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْكِ. So fear Allah, he said to her, because Allah has done good to you. Allah has not fallen short towards you. She got up. She made her way back to her husband. Her husband goes, okay, how did it go? Juicy goss, right? What a khinzir, la ilaha illallah. How did it go? She goes, anta battal, you're an idiot. Wa nahnu battalun, we're both idiots. And then she turned to salah and fasting and ibadah. And her husband, he said after this incident, mali wali Ubayd ibn Umayr, I hate Ubayd ibn Umayr. He said, afsada alayya imraati, he's ruined my wife. He said, كانت في كل ليلة عروسة فصيرها راهبة. He said, on each night, she was a beautiful bride, and he's now transformed her into a nun. Allah al-musta'an. These are some of the snapshots of muraqabah I wanted to share with you, and these are four ways, a suggestion for you and I to traverse a path on the long journey of muraqabah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a healthy and wholesome portion of muraqabah. صلى الله على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين